Not too many businesses are expanding at triple digits these days, but deep in rural Iowa, the Trappist monks have a growing enterprise. The monks launched a casket-making business 5 years ago after their farming operation went under. Now, in between their seven daily prayer vigils, they can be found in the woodshop, sanding and sawing. NPR's Allison Aubrey paid a visit to the Numellery Monastery near Dubuque and filed this report.
The ritual of daily life commences in darkness at Numellery. It's 3:30 a.m., and the monks file into a cavernous, medieval-looking stone chapel. Their robes rustling, they form two lines. By the time daylight breaks, Numellery's abbot or head monk, Father Brendan Freeman, has stripped off his robe and changed into jeans and work boots. For the next several hours, instead of directing prayer, he'll direct the monastery's thriving casket-building operation. The process starts with walnut trees from the monastery's forest.
Okay, he's taking the log with this end loader. Once he gets it settled, then they'll just saw the boards.
Inside the monastery workshop, a small group of monks, working alongside some laymen, use power drills to assemble the caskets. Father Alberic recites a psalm as he works. His lips move, but in keeping with the monastic tradition, he's silent. He does speak when asked about his craft.
The really fine woodwork is these double mitered edges here. These are really, if you make mistakes, they're very visible, and we try to just give a lot of attention to details.
The finished product is like a piece of fine furniture, a handcrafted wood box made to body-sized dimensions. Abbot Freeman says in an age of what he calls garish, fancy funerals, he's surprised and excited by the popularity of their simple product.
Very exciting, because to start a new business is not easy. But this is more of a spiritual entity. You know, it's something a lot of people would like their death and their funeral to reflect the values they had in their life. If they didn't want a lot of superfluity of, you know, a lot of money, a lot of Cadillacs and things, they don't want an $8,000 casket either.
When it's time for Abbot Freeman to attend late morning vespers, Sam Mulgrew takes over the operation. He's not a monk, but an urban refugee from New York who thought he was giving up the world of enterprise when he settled in Iowa.
Here we're finishing caskets. This is a sanding room.
When Mulgrew and his bohemian artist wife moved to Iowa, their intention was to live off the land, farming. But within a few years, Mulgrew was going broke. He learned the Trappist monks just down the road from his farm were in similar straits, so he approached them about a partnership. They considered furniture making. The monks have a long history of woodworking, building everything from a monastery wing to pews. But then Mulgrew stumbled upon something else. Americans spend $20 billion a year on funerals, much of it on caskets. I asked Mulgrew if there are any misgivings at the monastery about marketing their line of caskets as, quote, the soulful alternative to the mass-produced competition.
I could see a critic or somebody who's also trying to sell caskets out there saying, oh, you know, they're sort of playing on this connection to God, or being critical, they might be overselling it a bit.
Yeah, that's me. That's me doing that. That's not really the monks. If they had their druthers, they'd give every casket away. I'm definitely committed to capitalizing on anything I can that has to do with the promoting of this image.
And capitalize he has. The business is on target to grow 125% this year, as it has each of the last 4 years. Mulgrew earns a salary plus commission from the monks, and the rest of the revenues are used to keep the monastery going. This year, they're investing in planting new saplings to offset all the logging in their forest.
And now we're walking towards some walnut trees. These are red oak and maple.
Abbot Freeman says he does have some apprehensions. For instance, he knows funeral directors dislike losing sales to direct casket sellers like the monastery. But it's the success of the casket business that's keeping the monastery afloat, keeping alive the centuries-old Trappist traditions he so reveres.
I look at my own personality and I see what the monastery has provided me with, and it's just... I probably wouldn't have the opportunity for silence if I said. I'd probably be talking all the time and really lose my inner self. And that's, you know, that's an important part of everybody's life, but we don't get a chance to do it.
Even at the monastery, it can be tough. Recently, the monk who handles phone sales for the casket business realized he was missing a lot of calls on the weekend. So he's gone shopping for a pager. The challenge is finding one that doesn't interfere with prayer. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.